Right. The oops. Right. The time is 3:01 Central Time on January 9th, 2024, and I am convening this video and telephone conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on December 28, 2023, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. We do have a quorum. We have two of the three committee members, myself and Dean Frigo. Ted Kennedy is traveling and might be able to join us later. Also in attendance, we have Jackie Rickson, our general counsel, Bart Bowles, our executive director, and Jarrett and Topping from the association. And from TDI, we have Sean Martin. Welcome, Mr. Martin. With that, I guess we'll dive into item number one, Bart.
Yes, I'm going to bring up our materials. Here we go. Item one is your consent agenda, sir.
All right. Have any? I think all we have is the minutes. Do we have any changes to the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Trying to hold you hostage now, don't
Yeah, I need you. I need you, Dean.
Okay, I move we approve the consent agenda.
All right. I'll second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Passes item number two.
Hey Jim, item two are the cash flow projections on our current active insolvencies. And if you'll recall from the last meeting, we cleaned up a little bit and made a little neater table to show these. And what we've tried to do that is give you a picture on these active insolvencies. What are the assets that we are holding? And this is as of the most recent date the financials were closed. That was November 30th. The benefits that we paid on those insolvencies during calendar year 2023, what was left to be paid in the month of December in 2023, then anything from 2020 or January 1st, 2024 forward. And a couple items to note. You'll see the insolvency expense account we have on there holding the $31.443 million. You can see the double asterisk footnote at the bottom. In response to this committee's recommendation and the action by the board at the July 25th, 2023 meeting, the accumulated funds that were being held for Lincoln Memorial Service were transferred into the insolvency expense account. And there are specific guidelines noted of how some of those funds are to be spent. A part of that came from the January 24th, 2023 board of directors meeting, where there were seven specific insolvencies and some administrative expenses that the board authorized being paid from those funds, and this occurred before the transfer. So you will see Northwestern National, Calanthe Mutual, Time Insurance Company, North Carolina Mutual, Southland National, all being paid from that. In addition, Friday Health. Now, Friday Health is just a loan. That's not to be paid and not or paid and never replenished. That was a loan because we knew we were going to have funds coming from the Friday Health Insurance Company receivership estate. So if you look at these on the cash flow needs, the ones without asterisks, national states, it looks like it has plenty of money to meet its obligations. Executive Life has plenty of money. Then you go on down and you see the only other issue may be Universal Life. It's kind of tight, but we don't believe, and we'll get to the cash available needs schedule later, but just looking at this cash flow is being covered from the insolvency expense account on those specific insolvencies that were noted. I would mention, I'd added a note on the next page that that Rosie situation will probably not continue. If you recall, two member companies, Banker Life Insurance Company and Colorado Bankers Life Insurance Company, had liquidation orders entered against them by the North Carolina court December 30th, 2022. But those orders are not final. They have been appealed. And the orders themselves read that they would not become effective until, well, it's a long paragraph. I boiled it down to a few words, until 90 days after the appeals are resolved. That appeal, there's a hearing later this month. There is a schedule. It's hard to tell. We do think there will be some action taken this year. Whether it will be early in the year or late in the year, not we cannot tell. The NOLGA task force went ahead and had the actuary do projections on the cash surrender values for the contracts for both of these insolvencies as of June 30th. And this is also deducting the 25% withdrawals that the court authorized out of these surrenders to get the these poor annuity contract holders have been waiting for years to get them some money. So after those deductions and with these calculations and the coverage adjustments, it looks like the Texas exposure for cash surrender values on these two companies is a little over $102 million. Okay. And the Lincoln Memorial funds, when they were moved into the insolvency expense account, they were specifically noted to pay for life insurance obligations. So we will talk about this later, but there will be an assessment need should these two companies' liquidation orders become final.
Bart, can I add just a couple of things?
Yes.
Okay, can you go back up to the 2-1 page? So under the insolvency expense account, you'll see $3,500 of the benefits that we paid in 2023 and then projected benefits. Those are the Lincoln Memorial benefits that we have paid and projected to pay per the board's resolution. Those are to be paid out of the insolvency expense account. So that's why they're there. And then on the Friday Health, Bart was correct. Almost all of that is intercompany loans. There was a small portion that was paid from the Lincoln Memorial funds prior to liquidation that the board had authorized to be paid out of the Lincoln Memorial funds at that time. But it's a very small portion of that.
And I believe that portion was only administrative expense, Jared.
Correct. Yeah, it was before claims where it was basically our expenses to get the insolvency started.
Right. Okay, thank you for the clarification. Questions on that?
None for me. Dean, any questions for Bart or Jarrett?
No, I'm good.
Right. Item three, investments.
Okay. We have some good news here, and we'll add in some better news in a moment. Jarrett, you want to run through this?
Yeah, so this is our normal write-up and schedule that we provide the committee to show how our investments in cash and treasuries and money market funds are held. As you all recall, since the last meeting, we opened up a new account called Morgan Money, which is just a direct investment in U.S. Treasury money market funds, the same money market funds that our bank uses for our sweeps, but we can do a direct investment and we have no limits on how much we can. If you want to move on to page 3-3, let's just start there.
Okay.
So there's the schedule of October 31st and November 30th for our various cash and money market funds. We have the Morgan Stanley account. We have the money market funds at JP Morgan. Those are the sweeps that we have. We have one sweep set up for our main account, our main collection account. Then we have our Morgan Money and then just straight up cash at JP Morgan Chase Bank. We're still trying to keep cash around the 250,000, but as we told you before, that's really difficult to do with the timing of the claims that we're paying for these insolvencies, specifically the Friday insolvency. There's just really a lag between when we fund the money and when they withdraw the money out of our account to pay the claims. So, are there any questions on the cash and money market funds?
None on my end.
Okay. And then, so the
Do you
next
have a
group.
maturity schedule of the treasuries?
That's coming.
Yeah, it's on the
Okay.
next page, Dean. So the next one is our breakup of the investments in treasuries between Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan Securities, just based on the expense account, the insolvency expense account, and all our other estates. If you go to the next page, there's the schedule, Dean, of the maturities that we have for all of our investments. The thing I like to point out up at the top, we have, as of December 26, the yields on the various different treasury bills that we can invest in. Obviously, this is not all of them, but these are a sample of the different treasury bills. And if you look, our JP Morgan money market account that we have a large portion of the money in is pretty comparable to the treasuries that we could invest in. So I think having that account is a very good option for us, and it provides us really quick liquidity when we need to fund these
And Jared,
claims.
there's a small typo on here.
Uh-huh.
This maturity date, 1/31/23, should be 24.
No,
And
I'm sorry, 131-24. Yes, you're right. Sorry. Yeah.
so we had some monies maturing in September, and rather than going out in a couple of year investment, at the request of a committee member, Kennedy. We do try to look if on the returns, if we could purchase a treasury with a shorter maturity, we might be able to obtain a higher yield. And that was the case here. Those that 21,300,000 par value treasuries that are maturing 1/31/24, you can look at the yield to maturity on those.
Yeah, it's substantially higher than what we have been doing with our laddered maturity schedule. And I will point out that the ones that are maturing on December 31st, the 2 million there, we've kind of done a similar thing. We went out and got treasury bills maturing at March 31st, 24, because they provided the best yield without having to do this every single month.
Jared, I'm going to back up
Okay.
to a page and let you talk about this item at the very top.
Yes, so I think Bart mentioned earlier, or maybe he didn't, but on December 19th, we got a $25 million early access distribution from the Friday estate. If you recall, this was actually the distribution we were expecting some time ago, and the whole reason we set up the Morgan Money account was to deal with this money so we could still try to get a decent return and have liquidity to pay the claims. So we did get that on December 19th. That has been put into the Morgan Money account now. I can't recall exactly, but I want to say our most current balance is around $28 million in that Morgan Money account, earning roughly 5.2% yield.
So when you look at this treasury schedule, this was as of 11:30. So that 25 million is not in here.
Yeah.
So just add another 25 million onto this.
Well, it's actually up in the Morgan Money account. It's not in this schedule because we didn't buy treasuries with it. We bought money market funds.
That's right. It will be added in
Yeah.
here. It's not in there today because this is all still
Yeah,
as
this
of
is all
November
still as of
30th.
11. Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Any questions on those investments?
Okay. So in the Morgan money market, you have another 25 million in there?
We have the 25 million that we received on December 19th, plus we had a couple million already in there for claims funding.
So the 21,300,000 par value
Has
is
not
that.
matured yet.
When we talk about the Morgan money,
Well,
Dean,
is
let me
that a
go back
money
up here.
market? What is that?
So the
Right.
top, the schedule that Bart's looking at right there, this is all cash and cash equivalents, including the Morgan money and the Smith Barney cash equivalents. So these, it's either cash or invested in 100% U.S. Treasury money market account. So that's all this page 3-3 here. If you scroll down to the next page, these are all U.S. Treasuries, direct investment in the U.S. Treasuries.
And if you look, that total at 39 million, Dean, ties back to on this page, the two boxes, investment U.S. Treasuries, this 29.9 and the 9.2. That's that 39.
Yeah.
So when Jarrett says the Morgan money account, it's not treasuries, it's in these cash and money market funds. And we're saying there's another 25 million there now because we got this money in December 19th.
Well, are you going to ladder out some maturities and hopefully pick up a little yield?
Well,
Actually,
we can't ladder out too far. You ladder out too far, you lose yield if you look at this yield
yeah,
schedule.
because of the inverted yield curve right now, we're actually getting better returns at about 90 days.
So we
Okay, so
are
are
going to
you
be putting
investing
some.
out in 90 and 120 days?
Yes, that's what we're doing with new maturities. If we don't need to keep them in cash for funds, for claims, then yeah, we're doing around 90 days or whatever gets us the best yield.
And Dean, it's a little bit of a struggle to juggle right now. We mentioned the 25 million we just got on Friday. Well, we've already spent that on Friday. So we're repaying the loans, doing the internal accounting on it. Plus, we have a new insolvency. And we just sent out 2.37 million this morning on it. We got it about another 1.2 million to send out early next week on it. And then at the end of this month, the actual claims processing is going to kick in gear. And so cash flow is very difficult right now because these insolvencies, it's hard to predict the schedule of the payments because some of these are claims that are just sitting there in backlog and they're unprocessed. And as they process, then we know the amount, but they're also, we got to pay them right then. So we have to stay somewhat liquid. The amounts we paid today and the amounts we're paying next week, we know what those are because these are amounts as we execute contracts to initiate services with these vendors. And that's the payment we made this morning. We made an initial payment to a TPA to get them started processing. So by the time we get to the board meeting, we're gonna, when we talk about the insolvencies, I'm gonna give a little bit better summary of the cash flow asset liability matching that we're having to do on these health insurance insolvencies. It's a daily juggle.
And Dean, let me also make this point. So we have basically the option of putting our cash into this Morgan money account or direct investment into U.S. Treasuries. Right now, the U.S. Treasuries at 90 days, which is the best yield, is about 5.4%. And because the weighted average life of the Morgan money is around 80 days right now, we're actually getting 5.21% in the Morgan money. So we're not losing much in
Right.
yield by investing in the Morgan money account, and then having that cash available is a very liquid form, so we can use it whenever we need to.
Okay.
Later.
Okay, so Jim, it's a little bit more of a complicated, when you talk cash flow and then talk investments, a little more complicated now because of these new health insurance insolvencies.
Yeah.
It's just the projections and the timing, very, very difficult.
Yeah. Well, right. And the yields aren't that much different, so I appreciate that
No.
it's
And
easier
at
to
the
manage
same
maybe in
time,
the Morgan money account. So.
we are spending some time looking at when do we think we're going to be paying these, trying to project out the best we can and maintain some pretty good yields on anything we're
Yeah.
holding.
So there's not a lot of difference there. So,
No.
all right. Any more questions on cash flow? If not, item 4, investment policy.
Any recommendations from staff on that?
There are no recommendations for any changes. Your investment
No.
policy is very broad. You have a lot of opportunities, and the committee and the board have a lot of different investments they can choose. Primarily now, we're in cash, these money market funds and treasuries, but they're serving us well. The yields are reasonable, they're good, and we're able to meet our liquidity needs without having to delay claims payments or go out in a more expensive financing option, use a line of credit somewhere. So we are our own bank by managing the funds fairly aggressively in-house.
And I don't have any suggested changes. Anything from you, Dean?
No, it's all good.
Okay. All right. Item five.
Okay, this is going to be the meat of the meeting, Jim. This is where we talk about our necessity for any Class A, which are non-insolvency specific assessments, or Class B, the assessments that are for amounts specific to an insolvency or a group of insolvencies. What are our needs for 2024? And we have to start with summarizing, as I'm showing on the page here. In the third paragraph, we have three bulleted items. These were recommendations from the committee that were adopted by the board. And at July 26, 2022, these Lincoln Memorial and Memorial Service funds were used to fund the shortfall in admin expenses for 2021 and fund the 2022 admin expenses. And then in January 2023, the remainder of the funds were used to fund 2023 admin and general expenses. And then at the July 25th, 2023 meeting, we say meetings, but it was the committee meeting and the subsequent board meeting, the funds were transferred into the insolvency expense account with certain restrictions. There were seven insolvencies that these were life insurance obligations that the board authorized that whatever is left to pay and is that run out on those insolvencies occur, those should be paid directly from the insolvency expense account. So the monies, and Jarrett, was around $34 million from Lincoln Memorial Service that was transferred into the insolvency expense account.
That sounds right, yeah.
And so from January 1st, 2022 through the end of the financials for this report, November 30th, 23, insolvency expense account has paid $2.4 million in Class A expenses. And we looked at this and said, okay, we're going to have Class A expense needs for 2024. These funds had been used to pay the 2022 admin expenses, 2023. Should we consider using to pay them for 2024? The obligations from those seven insolvencies that we had projected would be less than $11 million. And we transferred $34 million into the expense account from these accumulated Lincoln Memorial Service funds. So we're going to make a recommendation regarding how to deal with the projected administrative expenses for 2024 in just a moment. But I want Jarrett to explain where we are right now and our estimate of what our administrative expenses for 2024 will be.
Okay, so on this pro forma cash flow statement right here, since we've been paying these admin expenses beginning in 21, I believe, through 22 and 23, then we obviously have no balance in the admin account because they've all been paid by the First Lincoln Memorial excess funds and then now the insolvency expense account. We do have $3.955 million in the expense account that is set aside for the member balances that we normally offset against assessments. But we have historically And the committee has always wanted to just keep those separate from any admin expense funds that we have to pay for operating expenses.
And
So
let's
that
take just a
is,
minute, Jarrett. Let me mention that
yeah.
this 3.955, I'll just round it and say $4 million. Yes, these were amounts that were refunded, recovered on insolvencies, and they were allocated back to the member companies in proportion to the assessments they paid on those specific insolvencies. What we have to do is research each one of these companies' balances. Now, let's just say a company, ABC Life Insurance Company, has a $250,000 balance in this 4 million. That 250,000 may come from more than one insolvency. I did over a week's research on this earlier in the year. One of these had balances from 31 different insolvent refunds. Well, to completely research that, you have to go through to the comptroller and look at if that company has any available premium tax offsets. Where did those offsets come from which one of those assessments? To have balances in this had no available premium tax offsets. That means any monies here allocated to them as credit balances that could be applied against assessments, they've already taken it through offsets. They're not entitled to that money any longer. So that money could be moved out of these credit balances. We just haven't yet because we want to research all of them. So I mentioned this is $4 million. It's going to require a lot of research, and some of it may not be, we may be able to run it to ground. I was surprised when I looked at some of the companies. The balances have been sitting there for 10 and 12 and 15 years. These companies have had the opportunity to take them in premium tax offsets and just haven't. And under Texas law, there's not a use it or lose it, where most states have it. You write down your asset that's created when you pay the assessment 20% per year, and in 5 years it's gone, whether you take it as an offset or not. You don't use it, you lose it. In Texas, if you don't use it, it is maintained. And the comptroller can maintain these ad infinitum. So this is going to be a lot of research. We just haven't done it yet, but we continue to track these funds. And if we have a schedule that 3.955218, it's comprised of, and I forgot the count, Jared, and I'm not going to ask you to try to remember it. We had a number of companies. Individual balances on it's several hundred companies.
Yeah,
So
I don't recall. I would probably guess somewhere around 300 different member balances that make up that 3.9.
that $4 million is something we'd like to stop talking about. And the only way we can do that is research it, and we'll make some decisions. But that's coming. I don't know if we're going to get it fully resolved this year, but we'd like to try to get it done this year. So I'm just going to put a stake in the sand there. You're not through hearing about this. Okay. All right, Jarrett, go ahead with the projected expenses for
Yeah.
2024.
So because of that uncertainty in those in that number there, we are holding that kind of earmark it to the side to say we're not touching that money, just to be very clear on our balance sheet here. So we have no expense funds, and I have done a projected budget, excuse me, a draft budget for 2024. And this is the projected expenses. Now, this is a draft budget. There, we already know there's probably going to be some changes. We haven't gotten all the data in, but I don't think it's going to be huge changes. Maybe, $100,000 or less. So with that, we are negative or underwater 2.4 million. So that money needs to come from somewhere, either from the insolvency expense account, if the committee wishes to do that, or the other option is a Class A assessment.
So before we talk about that, and we're going to ask Jackie for her view on this as well, let's go ahead and talk about Class B so we can just talk about that one fell swoop. Okay. Class B, if you take the seven companies out that have already been decided will be paid from those insolvency expense accounts, all you've got left is Friday. And we have not assessed for Friday because we've been working very closely with the SDR and with the assets they've recovered. This is very much a cash-rich insolvency. It's projected that they're going to have adequate funds to pay us all of our admin expenses and all of our claims obligations. So why doing an assessment if we're going to get all that money back from the estate? Then we've got to deal with, okay, this is a refund situation. Why take the money out of the members' hands unnecessarily? So we've been handling Friday as an in-house loan. And as you can see, we're about $24.5 million of a loan, and we just got the $25 million early access. And the receiver has said, we can get you more. We just haven't asked for any more yet because we want to try to get a little better arm around what our obligations are going to be so we don't have excess funds. So Friday would, in the normal course of business, if it were a normal insolvency, we might have an assessment need. We do not. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead to the cash available needs schedule, put it up. So these are the active insolvencies and the net position for each of the insolvencies. And let's focus on the red balances. If you look at Bankers Life, that is not an active insolvency. That's the one with the pending liquidation order. We can't do anything about that yet. We can't assess for it. So we just continue to do that as an in-house borrowing. At some point, if we're activated and we assess for it, that will be repaid in-house from assessment dollars or from distributions from that estate. I'll skip ahead to Colorado Bankers, small amount there, 23,000. It's the same thing. Those two companies, Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers, are in the same boat. Kalanthe Mutual, that's a forecasted $767,000 deficiency. We're not there today. This is over time. These are based on reserves where we think we're going to be. But this is one of the seven insolvencies that the board has already said pay from the insolvency expense account. So you can take that off the assessment need schedule. Friday Healthcare, $24 million negative. Well, we just got a $25 million recovery. Take that one off the assessment needs. Golden State, that's only $23,000. $20,000 of that is not due right now. It may not be due. That may never be claimed. And a small amount like this, if we ever have a actually negative position, we may just say play that from the insolvency expense account because it's not worth trying to do the assessment and send out a 30-cent assessment to one company and a dollar and a half to another one. It's just doesn't make sense. The other ones are fairly insignificant. 913 for International Financial Services, 2300 for National Heritage, North Carolina Mutual, 2.1 million. That's one of the seven. SHIP, 36,000. We're not yet activated for SHIP. May not be for years. These are really just task force expenses that we'll continue to handle them as an internal borrowing. Southland National, one of the seven. The largest of the seven, and Time Insurance Company, that is one of the seven. So I've just run through and eliminated several because we're not yet activated. One Friday because we got the early access distribution, and then many others because they were among the seven companies to be paid from the insolvency expense account. There is no need for a Class B assessment today. And we're not projecting one for 2024 unless the liquidation orders become final and effective for Colorado Bankers and Bankers Life. If that happens, and Jared, I believe I put that in the report, didn't I?
It was, I think it was an earlier one. It was a
Let's go
hundred
back to
two,
that.
it's way up,
102
hundred,
million.
yeah, 102.
$102 million.
Yeah.
I don't go back there. If we think this is going to be 102 million. Now, what's interesting about that? That is probably not going to be a situation where we do an assumption reinsurance transaction and move this business to another company. The policyholders have been sitting there under a moratorium. No voluntary surrenders have been permitted since June of 2019. They're not happy about that. And as soon as liquidation orders become final, the guarantee associations have obligations to honor those contracts with, of course, our statutory limitations. They're going to ask for their money. This is one of the few annuity insolvencies where we expect there's going to be an immediate run on the bank. Now, it's $102 million to Texas. It's about $1.7 billion to the system. And many guarantee associations have already begun to assess to have those monies available. So the only Class B assessment we might see coming are for those two, and we'll know more as the year progresses.
Has
That will
anybody
either
actual, I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Bart, has anybody actually called an assessment for those, or are they just
They've authorized, they have not called.
authorizing? Okay. Yeah.
So, and just so the committee to remind, under the statutes, if you authorize an assessment, you can capture your capacity for a given year. And then, because there is not a limitation on how much you can call, the limitation is on authorizing. And so you can capture your assessment capacity. And there's a couple of states that their exposure for these two insolvencies were going to significantly impair their assessment capacity. There are two small states that normally don't see that type of volume. It's just had a large amount in these two. All right, so questions on the cash available needs before we talk a little bit more about what we're recommending.
Well, can we go back up to that first cash flow?
Yes.
Yeah, stop.
Oh, this one. I'm sorry. Went too fast. This one.
Right there. It says employee benefits. Is that salaries and benefits?
That's all, yes. Payroll taxes, salaries, benefits, everything.
All right, that's the total payroll expense.
Yes.
Okay. I'm
But the
sorry, I just wanted to clear that up.
1.5 is operating expenses, but also in operating expenses, if we have costs for a company through like insolvency task force expenses at NOLGA, working on a company that may become insolvent, but we're not yet activated for it, those are still classified as Class A. Those projected expenses are in here as well. Now, if those companies become insolvent and we are activated for them and we can assess as a Class B, that those Class B assessments will repay any borrowings back to Class A. So don't think that we have 1.5 of operational expenses here in running this office. Some of it is for monitoring troubled companies. Jim, does that make sense?
Does to me, Dean.
Dean?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. All right. So let us take a moment while you look at this resolution. In the normal course of business, we would say, here's our projected expenses and our based on our budget that we worked out for 2024. So we would have a Class A assessment need of X, roughly 2.4 million. But with the amount of money that was placed into the insolvency expense account, and before the monies were placed in that account, 2020, a little bit of 2021, but 2022 and 2023 admin expenses were paid from those funds. We could have put some of the money into the insolvency expense account and some of it into the administrative expense account. But we just put it in the insolvency expense account to keep it together. We believe there is more money there than is we need for any known or potential life insurance insolvency. So we are recommending that the administrative expenses for 2024 be paid from the insolvency expense account.
And can I make
Jackie,
a call? I'm sorry, go ahead.
let me ask Jackie. Jackie, before the question comes up, I'll ask you. There is some discretion in the statute and the ability for the association to do that. This, do you have any comment?
My comment is I think the statute certainly would permit this and support this. And I think, mean, as you pointed out, Bart, one option that the committee could have recommended and the board could have adopted last year when we were looking at this would have been to put a portion of this money right into the Class A account and the rest into the insolvency expense account. And I think since you've identified that in the near term anyway, there doesn't seem to be a need for all of the money in the insolvency expense account to be used. I think it's fine to use that money for the Class A.
Yeah, and I mean, I know we talked a lot about the statute before, and we used the funds for what 22 and 23. Setting aside the statute, are we comfortable that the resolutions that we did last year allow to use it for the Class A? I'll start with the premise that I'd very much like to use the insolvency expense account. That'd be my preference if we can do it, my personal preference anyway.
I went back to the final minutes from both of the meetings and the resolutions that were adopted. It specifically talked about the 2023 admin expenses, 2022 admin expenses, these seven insolvencies, moving the money to the insolvency expense account. But any other language on admin expenses, it was silent. It didn't say yes or no, and it didn't say only use the money for Class B. It just said put the money in the insolvency expense account. So it didn't preclude this. It didn't specifically authorize it, but it's within your discretion. Jackie, is that a fair
Yeah,
way to say it?
I think that's accurate. And another thing that another way to handle this could also be to basically amend the resolution from the July board meeting last year, which and just go ahead and move some of that money into the Class A account and leave it in there for that purpose.
And you can move it in there and hold it in the Class A, or so long as those accumulated funds are really sitting there in their excess annually, you could transfer from the insolvency expense account into the administrative expense account and then pay the 2020, the current admin expenses from that account. So you could just it's be an annual transfer rather than just pay it out of insolvency expense. Moves a certain amount to the admin expense.
I mean, and
I'd
I
rather
did.
do something like that.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what's going on in the accounting side of this. What Bart described is exactly what we're doing. That's the mechanism on how you do it. Each month, we gather up all the Class A expenses. This is how much it is. That money comes out of the insolvency expense account, is then transferred to the operations account or the Class A account, and that's how it's done.
So rather than do it monthly, we could do a lump sum that is the projection for the current calendar year.
But you would have
Do
to
we have a...
then take care, I mean, you'd have to accommodate what happens if that lump sum is not enough.
Do we know, do we have any idea how much that fund is overfunded, so to speak? We know there's excess funds, but do we have an idea what it is?
Well, the insolvency expense account is it is an excess account, Dean, and we put 34 million in there that was not needed in that insolvency. Okay,
Well,
and the
it
discretion of the
insolvency
board,
meaning the Lincoln Memorial
right,
insolvency.
Lincoln Memorial, and at the board's discretion, it could be refunded or you could do this with it. And they decided let's put it in the insolvency expense account. It's not like the insolvency expense account has amounts due. Now, when we say the net position on that table I had up a moment ago, Dean, let me go back to that net position. This moves way too fast. There we go.
I mean, we.
Right here. I went the wrong way. This net position, the column that says less total payables and contractual obligations, these are projections of amounts that we believe we will oh, at some point in the future. Some are reserved. say net position, it's a projected negativity. It's not a negative balance today. So what is in the insolvency expense account today is 31 point, as of November 30th, 31.4 million. This 22 million next to it, these are receivables and other assets. These are recoveries we think we may get.
That's the intercompany loan from
Right, for
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to get that because we just collected 25 and we're going to repay it back. So we'd end up with 53 million in that account. And if we look at these obligations, we think if all those obligations, let's say they're hard and fast, and I nailed the obligations on the money, we have 31 million of
Yeah.
excess funds.
Well, I mean, we've got way more funds for five of the seven, right, that we specifically
Oh,
named.
yeah.
Like way more, right? And then there's Colorado Bankers and Bankers Life, which eventually will be over 100. So I assume we'll be using a piece of that to fund those assessments sometime
Well,
in
the
the
only
future,
thing when it
right?
recommendation from the committee and to and adopted by the board, with those excess funds will be used to pay life insurance obligations.
Yeah.
Colorado Bankers and Bankers Life are annuity obligations. So when
Okay.
those become due, we will do a separate assessment for those amounts. So what I'm saying is this 31 million is still going to be excess.
Yeah.
Why not use some of that to fund the 2.4 of projected admin expenses for this year?
Well, that's what I'd like to do. I don't see you doing a Class A assessment when we're sitting on these balances.
Thank you, Gene. That's what we are recommending, the mechanics of exactly how we're doing it, how to do it. We've got options. And one of the simplest things is we can't just pay it from the insolvency expense account with them to transfer. The mechanics of monthly, just move the amount, pay it, move the amount, pay it.
I just added up off of the schedule here, Bart, the all the obligations that we have for those seven plus the ones we have for the insolvency expense account, which is basically the Lincoln Memorial obligations. If we were to say that those were the obligations that we would have to pay out of the insolvency expense account, and those, like Bart said, were he got it nailed it just right, we would have obligations over the next however many years of 10.5 million. So if you needed to have some sort of idea of a number of excess, that would be 10.5 million out of 53.5 million. So you would have 43.5 million of excess.
Well,
Yeah, I think I can't do. I don't feel good about a Class A assessment.
Okay.
yeah, no. I agree. I would prefer we not do one either. I just want to make sure that we could use the money based on the resolutions we passed.
So
And it seems like we're comfortable that we can. Is
the
that
second
correct?
resolution on screen would authorize the 2024 general and admin expenses to be paid from the insolvency expense account. We don't go into the details of the resolution of saying, okay, it's going to be done through this mechanism. We move it from this account to that account every month or whatever needs to be paid. This just says it will be paid.
And one more comment I would like to make on this in your consideration. Class A assessment, if that were something you were considering, just be aware that we're in the middle of a conversion on our assessment system where we're going to all electronic notifications, distribution, collection, and everything. So we're still probably, Bart, maybe 2, 3 months out to even be able to do an assessment. Because we're still trying to get all the contact information for all the different members into our system.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like there's any interest here in doing a Class A anyway. So, I mean, I know we've got
Yeah,
two resolutions up there. Go ahead, Dean. Do
I
you want to
like
move one
the
of
second
those?
one. Yeah, I will move the second one, and the mechanics of it is up to staff.
Okay. And I will second that. Any
Further comments from anybody or anything else we need to cover, Bart, before we vote?
No, sir.
All right. All in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Resolution passes.
Nadine, we always, sorry, Jim, we always leave the committee an opportunity to meet in executive session. I do not have any items to be discussed in executive session. I'll ask counsel if she has anything that she needs to share with the committee.
I do not, but if there's anything that's on somebody's mind that they have legal questions about, we can certainly go into executive session for that.
I don't have anything for item six either. Dean, do you have anything for executive session?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. I think we can pass through that, Bart.
So the only other thing would be your calendar and your next meeting date. The calendar is included at the end of your packet, same format you can see. I'll let you look at that. But the next meeting date would be Tuesday, July 16th, 2024, with a caveat. Not knowing how the courts will work, but not knowing how litigious the owners, the global companies for Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers will continue to be. If those liquidation orders become final, then there's 90 days until they're actually effective. And then the cash surrenders could hit. So there is potential. That we're sweating out like a 60 or 75 day period right now, that we may need to call a meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee to be able to do a Class B assessment for those annuity funds before you meet in July. I just want to throw that out as a possibility. I don't think it's very likely because I do think this is going to drag out. We're not going to see effective liquidation orders against these two companies until the fall.
Right.
So, just a caveat, your
Yeah,
next meeting is July 16th, but don't be surprised if I say I was wrong. You need to have a meeting.
yeah. And then Bart, I may be out of town that part of July. I'll let you know at the board meeting, and then at the board meeting, I guess we'll figure out who's going to be on the assessment investment committee next year too. So, no need to make any changes yet. It may
Okay.
be a moot point, but we can
Remember,
talk
we can
about that
always,
maybe in Austin
with
later
the
this
committee
month.
meetings being virtual like this, shifting them a week, shifting them a day here or there, we can be very flexible. We've got plenty of time to schedule this. So after the committee appointments are made at the end of this month, we can circle back and talk about calendar.
Right. Anything else we need to discuss?
We have nothing else on the agenda today.
All
I
right.
move we adjourn.
All right. I'll second that motion. Let me pull out my item. All right. The time is 3:54 Central Time on January 9th, 2024, in this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association is hereby adjourned.
Thank you.